Hello, welcome to the 5280 podcast. Strap on and have a good time.
From the 5280 Studios Weekend Geek Update, Special Edition Smurf here, along with a new troop. I don't know what I guess a troop? Mm-hmm. A gaggle?
Yeah. Yeah.
Geeks United that are going to be doing something very closely with us, 5280 Geek, in regards to a writer's retreat. Actually, a talent retreat is what I would like to think of it as we bring people together. But we'll get into that more. To my right, I have...
Jeanette Perdue.
Mike Hans.
Mario Acevedo.
Guys, thank you for sitting in with me. And first, let's just get right into it. It's called the Ghost Town Writers Retreat. And it's going to be held August 3rd through 6th up in Georgetown, which in itself is creepy as hell. Why did you pick Georgetown?
Well, we were originally looking at the Stanley. Then we decided because of all the history there. But Georgetown is such a better fit. If the roads close, it's easier to get to. And it's one, there's more history. It's one of the most preserved sections in the United States. In fact, it's still on the original charter from the 1800s. They don't have a mayor. They have a police judge.
Shut up. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Now, we've done investigations at the Stanley. Have you guys ever toured the Stanley or stayed an evening there at all?
No, not yet.
I have myself personally.
Yeah, and any happenings?
I attract ghosts, and yes, I had one.
You attract weird men, and they could be labeled as goblins, ghosts, or other. I'm going to go with other most of the time.
Well, I'm a little neurotic. What I expect?
And Mario, have you been up there? Or?
Yeah, I got chased out of.
Did
the
you?
Stanley. Yeah, my credit card bounced.
Oh,
so
ooh.
It was like, get out of here!
Run. So now what brought you guys to doing the retreat? Because looking at what we have on tap so far, because this looks amazing, and I know you have more to come.
Mm-hmm.
So what was the brain trust? What brought you to wanting to do this?
Well, this is kind of the maraschino cherry. I've been doing local writing events for about 5 years, and I wanted to do something big to kind of cap it off and start a new phase and hopefully become an official nonprofit and really start doing some bigger, cooler stuff.
Mm-hmm. Now, I've had a lot of independent writers on in the last couple of weeks and everything, and self-publishing. And the one question that I ask people, what do you think the next breakthrough is going to be? Is movies done? Are we going to see a revitalization for TV in the horror genre? Or, I mean, where do you see the landscape of the horror field going?
Well, it's incredibly exciting right now. There's so much major talent out there. It's just a matter of, I think there's going to be a mechanism to filter through just the huge fire hose of content that's hitting people right now. And it's going to be through the author community is going to develop into groups of peers. And I think reading can come back in a big, bad way, way bigger than vinyl did.
Bite your tongue. Nothing comes back better than vinyl, sir. Nothing. because to be honest with you, I've been, as of late, disappointed. Because every idea has been rehashed. I mean, Disney even can't do an original idea. They're going to do live action of all their original, you know, animated. So what do you hope to accomplish? I mean, are you trying to create bigger, better, stronger writers?
Yeah, I think so. Everybody's got to move down the evolutionary path, and I think this can be a major step to doing that. Colorado's a great place to do it, too. We have the highest percentage of members of the Horror Writers of America. The only other state that has more is California.
So as you were growing up, mm-hmm. what made the biggest impression on you from a horror standpoint?
Well, I don't know. I started out with The Evil Dead, and the 80s was such a grand time for horror,
time.
You know. It's like a perfect nexus. You had the video stores financing things. You had the professional people who could make money making mm-hmm. horror movies. And then, then I came into Hong Kong movies, and then I was just lost. Yeah, horror.
Hong Kong horror is so much grittier and, like, it bitier. I mean, I don't even know how better to explain it. Because American horror, great. Kind of, unless you're dealing with like Wes Craven or some of like the classics with, you know, like Vincent Price and Pit and the Pendulum, where you're really in Hitchcock, where you're thinking.
Mm-hmm.
The Japanese horror has got us completely stonewalled. I mean, without a doubt. Joni, what about you? What was your big horror bite?
Actually, my mom, who is 72 years old now, is the one that got me into horror. I was like 6 or 7. I saw Rosemary's Baby. And it did.
Wow,
it
that explains a whole lot. Mario, and what about you?
Cheesy movie, double
features?
Double features.
Oh.
At that time, it was so long ago, it was a quarter to go there. And I was probably like 10 years old, and those movies would just scare me. I would leave the theater. They would scare me because they get to the monster part. And then years later, I went back, and he's just guy in a cheesy rubber outfit, and you're like, really,
style.
I couldn't believe I was that scared of that, but I was.
Now, when you compare the old horror genre to the new, to the one we're living now, mm-hmm. I mean, is there hope? Do you see any glimmer? Are you scared anymore?
Yeah, I think so. There's a lot of original stuff on the indie scene and small presses, both in film and literature, that's really mind-blowingly good.
Really? What's literature side? I haven't seen anything, but please enlighten me.
Well,
I'd love to grab something.
Literature, it's really hopping right now, at least for me, is a lot of the stuff out of Portland, Lazy Fascist Press, and the whole Bizarro community is coming up with things that I don't think have really been seen in print before.
Really? Okay.
Yeah.
What is your favorite genre then when you're dealing with monsters, zombies? I mean, because zombies have been king for a while now, thanks to The Walking Dead, of course.
Yeah, I love them, but I've had about enough for a while at least.
You spent?
Yeah. I'm still a big fan of the creature features, the classic possession drama. It's like I think the two seminal stories of kind of Western civilization as a whole are both Faust. So you deal with the possession, and then Siddhartha, you've got the questing. So there's a whole lot of potential in history there for demons, who I'm hoping will be the next big thing.
Very cool. Now, how are you holding the retreat? Because you're bringing people in, so if they want to be part of it, or you know, what's the groundwork looking like for this?
Well, we're taking over pretty much the entire town.
Yes.
This is going to be
awesome.
If this
was Monopoly, we would win.
Yeah, there's so many great things there. So, and then we've got the whole Heritage Center, which they just spent millions of dollars restoring. It's an old schoolhouse with the original chalkboard still in it.
Wow.
That's been now wired for multimedia. And then we've got a tour on the steam train. The town is still powered by a power station built by Nikola Tesla. So there's so much history. And then, like, all the stories from the mining town, there's just so much great stuff. I mean, we could do retreats for years here. You know?
Now, correct me if I'm wrong. Was it Georgetown that had the big massacre where they brought in the army? And
no, that was Ledlow.
Was that Ledlow?
Ledlow massacre?
That was in the southern part of the state.
Gotcha.
You know, Pueblo, yeah.
Because I was trying to, when I saw that, I was like, is that where they, this big mass shooting and the military came in and just wiped out the entire mining town?
Didn't they have the guy with the bulldozer tank, right?
Yes.
I think was that maybe that was Silver Plume, but I think it was in Clear Keep County, which is part of, or maybe Idaho Springs.
Gotcha. Because I mean it's dripping with history. So now, when they're coming to the retreat, who are they going to be seeing? What kind of classes and who's all going to be there right now so far that you can announce?
Well, our big thing is Brian Keene, two-time winner of the Stoker Award for Grandmaster, I believe, in 2014. He's one of the guys who kicked off the zombie, the big zombie trend with his book, The Rising, along with the Walking Dead comic book.
Gotcha.
And then we've got Stephen Graham Jones, who's up for another Stoker Award this year, and just really one of the great writing talents, I think, out there. We've got plenty of local people, not the least of which is sitting right beside me here with Mario. Josh Viola is an amazing artist and talent. There's going to be so much coming up. The big kind of secret sauce, I think, though, is Don Daria, who's edited over 500 books and revitalized pretty much the entire horror paperback industry in the mid-90s.
Wow. Yeah, because, I mean, it just went away. And at the end of the 80s, I mean, you couldn't find nothing. I mean, it was anemic almost.
Yep, then he came back with Sam Hain and Leisure Press and really kind of sparked and discovered a lot of great people.
Now, Mario, you are an acclaimed writer, What do you
lowercase acclaim?
Lowercase.
All lowercase.
Wait, there's an umlaut. Well, I mean, what do you really get into writing? I mean, what's your favorite style?
Oh, what I like to write, of course, are my own stories. I got the Felix Gomez Detective Vampire series, and so I always like to look at the humor of things. So it's really kind of hard for me to write a straight story without injecting some humor. Though I've done that in a couple of horror stories where I thought, because they're short stories, and you know, you just don't have enough room to put humor in it, and then and then still try to make it horrific. But I actually had a lot of fun with those horror stories, and a couple of them I really, really dialed up the shit. Holy crap! You know, you're like, oh, I can't believe he went there, and I did. And I had a lot of fun with that.
So, kind of in the style of Tales from the Crypt type of tongue in cheek, yet still
some of them, yeah. The ones that are humorous are that. The other ones are straight horror. I mean. More like, remember the old Eerie comic?
I was just
stuff
about
like
to
that.
Ask you about the Eerie. Yeah, I mean, that was a, because we didn't have the comic book code then.
Yeah.
And all the old Eerie stuff is
well, actually, you
really
did have
well
a comic.
Done.
You do, well, and the Eerie magazines I remember came out in magazine format, so the comic book code didn't apply to them. So I remember those, and they just, I remember reading them, and I'm like, I couldn't. It was really pretty interesting to read.
And you had Barry Wrightson doing a lot of the art back then, and it is just... were you guys big comic book readers at the time, or magazine?
Oh, definitely, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Comics are one of the great venues for horror, because it just naturally fits the short story format, which is kind of the preferred format for horror. So.
Now, have you guys ever thought about doing a comic, Mario?
Well, I had one, Felix Gomez. I haven't thought about doing a horror comic lately. Well, you know, we'll see if the opportunity shows up. You know,
you never know.
Yeah, you never know. You never know.
What are you currently working on right now? Or can you talk about?
Oh, I can. I got a whole list of things I'm working on right now.
Let us go, Mario.
I got one thing I'm doing right now. I got a talk at the Denver Public Library in the Corky Gonzalez branch, and they want me to talk about writing, but they want me to do it in Spanish. So I've been boning up on my Spanish. So that's going to be.
I was
going to
say, are you multilingual?
Bilingual or trilingual? English, Spanish, and jive. So.
I was going to say broken English, English.
Yeah, drunken English, yeah. And then one of my books is out, self-published, but Hex is going to reissue at the University of Doom, which is like a tongue-in-cheek children, young adult take on the whole evil genius thing. You know, and there again, I had a lot of fun with that. And then I've got my, I just finished the seventh installment of my Felix Gomez Detective Vampire series, and this is with my critique group. And this one I kind of restarted things, and it's a steampunk story.
Ooh,
and it's called The Sex Slaves of Shark Island. So there you go. and then with Hex, I was associate editor with Blood Business, which is coming out in the fall of this year. And that's going to be very interesting because half of the stories are like straight crime, and the other half of the stories have a paranormal aspect to it.
Okay.
So we've got a lot of really good stories. And then I'm the editor for... a new anthology that we're just collecting submissions right now for it. It's called Blood and Gasoline.
Mm.
So that's going to be like just a, you know, just going out all out there, pedal to metal, high octane, R-rated action is what we're going.
Ooh,
you know,
I like
shootouts,
that.
Roadblocks. You know, either you got to get away or you got to get them. We one of the two. You know, either
stand and fight, go out swinging, or
yeah,
run
go
like
out
hell.
Swinging. Yeah, yeah. That's gonna so that's gonna come out in the spring of 2018. And then with my critique group, we've got something called a Critique Party podcast.
Hmm.
And what we do is that we're collecting submissions, and we're going to critique them on the air.
Very nice.
So, yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. And we also highlight a cocktail. We have Warren Hammond, who is our mixologist, or the Lex Luthor of libations, because every time we meet, we've learned not to start drinking until after the Critique Party, man, because he mixes some pretty potent cocktails.
Kick like a mule?
Yeah. Well, no. They're like snakes just kind of slithering on you, and then before you know it, they're in the coils, and it's too late. And thankfully, a couple of times I Ubered home. It was pretty... Yeah, so that... We've got three recordings in the can right now, so we're just I'm not really sure. Probably within a month, we're gonna go ahead and start. You know, we're gonna put them online.
Okay.
Them online.
Start releasing them?
Yeah, start releasing them. And then with Regis University, I'm one of their instructors in their Mile High MFA program.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm familiar with that.
Yeah, and we should probably get some people there.
We should.
Come here, yeah, from Mile High. It's really a great program. It's starting in the second year now. And they brought me in because unlike a lot of MFA programs, they actually have a genre track. So if people want to write horror or science fiction or fantasy and stuff, you know, they're welcome to do that. Well, in a lot of MFA programs, they're like, well, that's commercial fiction. That's not real literature, you know, so that. And then at Lighthouse, I'm an instructor at LitFest, which is in June. Mm-hmm. So that's always cool. And then some of my own stuff, I do artwork. And I kind of gave myself – I'm not getting any younger, in case you haven't noticed. And I decided, you know, I'm really going to dig in. I'm doing more artwork. I do a lot of urban landscapes.
Okay.
And I'm doing some I get some people that I know, I do fantasy portraits of them.
Ooh,
so, like, okay. What I do is I get their portrait, and then, like, I either make them steampunk or diesel punk. And a friend of mine, I made her atomic punk. She's got a space helmet on. So that's fun with that. And then hopefully in the spring, I'm going to have a YouTube channel called Steampunk Banditos. And what we do mainly is we get all the different kind of guns that you come across in steampunk, mm-hmm. either on TV or in the books, and we'll go out and shoot them.
Oh, okay.
And talk about them, and, you know, what's the difference between the fantasy part of it and the reality part of it. So that should be kind of
practical
fun.
Versus impractical. I like
that's
that.
Correct.
You are way busier than me. I don't even. Good Lord.
Well, I had to write a list down. <you know. laughs> Actually, the busiest I've been all day is making the list. Okay, so don't be too impressed. Okay.
Well, I just recently got published for a horror anthology from Wannabe Press.
Okay, awesome.
Which is in its own challenge. Now, being an independent publisher, I mean, what do you think your biggest opportunities and your biggest challenges are with that? Because that kind of seems like the ongoing theme as the writing world has expanded.
Well, I'm going to say that probably the biggest challenge as a publisher is making it commercially viable. Because you might be able to shoestring one or two anthologies, but after the second one, I mean, mm-hmm. unless you're making money or you got some other kind of venue out there, it's just such a big task that you just got to have to let it go, you know? I mean, so you have to – that part of it. And then allied with that is the promotional part of it, you know, you can have the best product out there, but people have to know about it. So that in itself is also another big challenge. And then from there, you know, there is a challenge. I was also an editor for another anthology from the Rocky Mountain Fiction Writers called Found. And, you know, honchoing that was just, mm-hmm. you know, it just takes a lot of time to do, something that you want to do. Having a kind of a unifying vision for the anthology
right.
helps. And, you know, having people with you on the team that can help you put up a good product, I think that's really the most important thing.
Yeah, I'd like to, if I may, jump in here.
Please. I see you chomping. You're like, oh, I got something to say.
Well, yeah, I run an open call writer's critique group, so I see, like, all the spectrum, and it's something mm-hmm. I've become increasingly passionate about. So I think there's, like, a scale of things. There's self-publishing where you don't really even edit. You just run it through a grammar checker, and you put it out as an ebook, and it's usually crap. Then there's independent publishing. You maybe hire one or two people, and you come out with something a little better, and you've opened yourself up. And then there's what I like to think the high level is artisanal publishing,
right?
Where you've gone full court and you've done beyond what's possible through traditional means.
Is there an advantage to being self-published these days, or is the power still with the major publishing houses?
Well, if you can get a big house, great, but I don't think, you know, anyone starts there until they've built up a platform. So I kind of feel like it's, you know, like a woman from the 50s wanting Prince Charming to come and take them away. I like, no, you know, do it yourself and get the experience and learn and be real, be honest, and be true, because you're not going to get that chance again in your career if it really takes off, probably.
So do you think there's writing prodigies left? I mean, can they be discovered by a big house? And, you know, are there J.K. Rowlings still out there, do you think?
Oh, God, yeah. The guy, Jeremy Robert Johnson, just... you know, a small bizarro writer just taking off, and his book hit number one on horror for Amazon.
Oh, wow.
His coming anthology. So, yeah, there's so much talent out there. It's surreal.
It's just trying to sift through
uh-huh.
everything else to get to it.
Yeah, like for example, we had one lady come in with a poem that was 74 pages about leprechauns in space. It was so bad. So, you know, you got to get through the leprechauns, and there's gold at the end of the rainbow, for an apt metaphor, yeah.
Yes, I can see it. You got to dig deep, though.
Yep.
When you were growing up, what was the biggest impact for you, though, from an author standpoint or reading? What was it that just shot you in this direction?
Well, for me, I mean, it was kind of Robert E. Howard and the Conan stories.
Great stuff.
Yeah, and then you had the creatures, and then I went into Doc Savage. So I'm kind of a pulp guy who's warped and become more of a horror guy.
Yeah, but the pulpy stuff was great. I mean, Doc Samson was great stuff. Indestructible Man, and yeah. I mean, it just there's not anything like that anymore. There really isn't.
Yeah, it has a soul and a life all its own. Although, mm-hmm. some, you know, and it's also the hardest thing to replicate. Though,
well,
too.
And they've tried to. They're trying to get the genie out of the bottle again, but mm-hmm. no one has been able to replicate with the same amount of success. At least in my opinion, and I've been reading for.
Yeah, I agree. There's a couple new pulp guys. Chuck Miller, Frank Loria, and Charles R. Saunders are doing it. Charles R. Saunders in particular, he's doing what feels very much like Conan, mm-hmm. but in traditional mythic Africa from an African-American perspective. And it's
some
of the most thrilling fun reads you can find.
Really? How many books does he have out on that?
He has two of the Amaro series and then one of his girlfriends. So
okay.
It's pretty great.
Mario, what about you? What was your big impact as a kid?
In terms of reading?
Sure.
Well, I also liked the pulps, Doc Savage. I liked that a lot. I liked a lot of the they didn't call them pulp mysteries, but they were the Travis McGee stories. I liked that a lot. My dad would bring home these big pot boilers, novels, Leon Uris, and John D. MacDonald and Ludlum, things like that. Mm-hmm. So, you know, my dad would devour those in a weekend and hand them off to me. So we had a stack of paperback books that I was always reading, and I was like hanging out in the library. I was the kind of guy that in the summertime that I'd be at the library and then they'd get a call from my mom, say, hey, send them home, you know. And so I loved to geek out in the libraries, and I liked you know, in those days, it was really hard to get any science fiction like there is now, you know, mm-hmm. So every chance I got, something would come on TV or a movie and stuff, I'd go and geek out on that stuff.
Of what's going on right now, is there anything that you guys are particularly looking forward to, movie-wise, TV show-wise? I mean, what's got you guys palpitating over there? You're not even talking, which is really freaking weird.
I was not talking. I was going to answer the books.
Okay, answer the books, and then we'll go into the next question.
Nancy Drew and the Hardy Boys, actually. I know.
Nothing wrong with those. Well, those are great books.
But here's the thing, though. As a child, my mom would make me read the book before I saw the movie, so I saw it completely different, especially the Disney movies.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, I figure 90% of the problems in the world are caused by people not reading, so never condemn someone's choice of a book. You
no.
know,
reading's reading.
Yep.
And you're speaking of films. Of course, you know I do films.
Yes, you do.
And my director, Evgeny Modlik, and I are about to embark on a 48-hour film project here soon. We are in the editing process of compromising positions that we do want to put in some film festivals. We finished last year with a 48-hour that's already screened at The Bug of Trish in a Barrel.
Wow. How did the screening at The Bug go?
It went well.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. This is for the Emerging Filmmakers Project, so yes.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which is always a packed house. In fact, what is that still going on last Thursday? What is the
Friday.
Last Friday?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Because that is, I never can make it anymore. I hate that.
I hope I said Friday. I hope that was right. If I'm wrong, my bad.
It's either Thursday or Friday. I always forget. Uh-oh. Go to the Bug's website. It is a great venue if you haven't been there before. So right now, what are you guys anxious for? Anything?
Well, the Logan movie, actually, because I met one of the assistant directors when I was down in New Mexico
nice.
This past summer, and the way he described it and the way they're going to bring out, I believe it's X-23, if I'm correct,
mm-hmm.
that it's just, I haven't seen it yet, but it's like one movement to another, like a combination of both.
Right.
Yeah. I'm excited for Logan.
Okay.
I'm really enjoying Inside Number 9. It's a BBC series by the guys who did League of Gentlemen, and it's incredibly smart, and it's really the best mixing of horror, mystery, and comedy that I've ever seen.
Did you guys get into any of the Dirk Gently series that they produce on the BBC?
Yeah, I mean, I loved it, but I think you almost have to be a writer to love it.
You know, and I kind of think so as well, because there's just some references in there, and it's so, I hate to say pulpy, but I mean, it is really just, I think it's really well put together. But brother, clueless. He's like, eh, whatever.
Yeah. Like, give me, yeah, an information junkie. You're totally blissed out, but
mm-hmm.
But if you're a guy who's given Monday Night Football a rest, it's going to be a hard time.
Yeah, very true. Mario?
Well, the new Alien movie when it comes out.
Hopefully. Really? Are you in?
I hope they don't mess it up. I mean, the first two, to me, I mean, I can go and watch them and again, but after the second one,
the first one was just so.
I saw that first one like a month after I saw Star Wars.
Okay.
And so completely different. Mm-hmm. And I was thinking, well, it'd be so awesome if that alien would have showed up on the Death Star or something. You know?
Han Solo would have been
Han
like,
Solo, yeah, on the Millennium Falcon, yeah.
Take care of it. I'm out of here. I got to fight that. Screw you. I'm out.
Yeah, yeah. So.
Very nice. So where do we need to go to follow up with Ghost Town Publishing or the Ghost Town Writers Retreat?
Yeah, just go to our website, ghosttownwritersretreat.com. It's open. We've got a special on admissions till the 12th, so make sure you get in because we only have limited 150 slots at max. So it's something that's going to fill up, and we want to get good people in there fast.
Absolutely. And you have more guests coming to announce soon?
Yep, we will. Yeah. We'll keep you in the loop on that.
Okay.
Yeah, we didn't mention as well on the list is Keith DeCandido as well. And he has actually written Resident Evil. We are in talks with a filmmaker to hopefully be there.
Mm. So more good stuff to come. What is ticket pricing right now at?
$125 for all 4 days. So.
And that you're going to be panels, you're going to have workshops, you're going to have the whole package.
Yeah, and that's like less than some concert tickets.
For yes.
The whole weekend and half of a lot of similar events. And to get hotel rooms, double occupancy, they have microwaves and fridges. You can do this a really good deal.
Okay, and you're in a historic town for sure.
Absolutely, yeah.
Well, the people are really welcoming to us, and they already gave us deals with the hotel. All the people have to do is call.
Excellent. All right. So we'll be posting up the webpage, and is there a Facebook page established yet?
Yes, there is.
And which one is?
Yeah, just search for Ghost Town Writers Retreat on Facebook.
All right.
Be there.
Excellent. Well, guys, I will let you go. I appreciate you sitting down with me, unless there's something more. You've been chatting so much, Mario. I just really wish you just hush.
No. Thank you very much. I appreciate this. Yeah, I see you at the different cons and stuff. So
we try to get around, and
awesome.
It's never ending. So, guys, thank you so much. We look forward, and we will have more information coming up on the Ghost Town Writers Retreat for sure. Keep looking at 5280 Geek in addition to their own Facebook page. And in the end, we're all stories, so make it a good one.
All right, thanks.
Thank you.